Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and it is my pleasure to have with me Dr. Alice Benton. Hello, Alice.
Hi,
good
Steve.
To see you. And Becky Brown in the studio with me.
Hello.
And we're here to take the no out of November. We want this to be a great month for you. And I just hope and pray that it's going to be a month full of course, Thanksgiving and getting ready for the holiday season. Now, we've got a great workshop coming up. It's called Restore. It's next weekend. It's for women who have been hurt by a man or many men who've got problems with sexual integrity. What about that, Alice and Becky? What do you think?
Oh, some of the things that I love the most about being at those weekends is first how safe it feels and how palatable God's presence is through the women, through the speakers, through the groups. If you have felt distant from God and from other women, if you feel isolated and alone in your pain and in your journey, this just breaks through all of that. I think about James 5:16. It's one of my favorite because it encourages us to start opening up to other safe people that can understand what we're going through. And this is the perfect environment to do that.
And one of the greatest things of the weekend is when everybody comes in on Friday, they're scared to death, which you may think that is that's a weird thing to be great. But what I recognize is it's their first brave step into their healing process, that they've come out of hiding, that the shame that they're carrying, which belongs to the man in their life, is all of a sudden there's a light on it. And they recognize, I'm not the only one. And this isn't me. This is his stuff that he's got to deal with, but I've got to heal from it. And they find connection and camaraderie and a sisterhood that will change their lives.
So you can struggle alone, or you can have one of the greatest weekends ever, develop the relationships, change trajectory, and experience some freedom and no longer experience the pain of the betrayal and abuse. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll tell you about Restore. Let's go to Kate from Amsterdam, New York. She listens online. Glad she does. Hey, Kate, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Great. What's going on in your life today, Kate?
Well, I am just really having a hard time right now recovering from this last relationship. I feel like this person, like, for over 6 years, we've been, like, kind of on and off. And basically, I just kind of feel like he has led me on recently, and now he's just turning around and saying, oh, we're not compatible, and just kind of being very hurtful to me. Like, he's in recovery as well. We're both in recovery. We both deal with mental illness, and he's an addict, recovering addict. And, like, it's just been, like, a toxic relationship that I've always, like, we both have tried to, like, make work, and, like, we have, like, moments of, like, reconciliation, and, like, where we hang out, and but then I always end up going downhill, and, like...
Okay, Kate, how old are you, Kate?
I just turned 29.
Okay. And how long have you guys been in this on-off situation?
For 6 years.
6 years, okay. All right, well, music is starting. We're going to give you some help here, and I'm really glad that you called us. And I'm also glad that you're coming to grips with reality in the sixth year, not the eighth, not the 16th year. So, you know, it's painful, but now you can deal with and do some things differently based on reality. We're going to help you deal with that. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're always there 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And, you know, we're getting ready for Christmas. You have something in mind. Before you get that, look at the resources at newlife.com. Some great things that transform lives right there at newlife.com.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelly Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Kate. And Kate, a couple of things I want to start with. Is, you know, if you listen to us very long, we're really big on folks in their 20s taking a second look at relationships at year two. Let's say if you're in the relationship and you've been in the relationship a couple of years, you need to be asking, are we talking about a date to be married? Are we talking about what are the things that stand in the way of us being married? Is this just something that I'm kind of a placeholder and it's never really going to go anywhere? And the sooner that I discover that, the better for me and my mental health. So that's something that I think is really important. You should not go back into this relationship. You must grieve this loss, fully grieve it, get support for the grieving, the anger, the sadness. You should forgive this guy so that you're not dragging him around inside of your head. Give up any false hopes you have of him becoming something he's not or the relationship. And then accept your reality and embrace that reality. Now you're free to find a relationship that really might be a great, wonderful gift to your life. But you really have to get over this person and not think, well, a little bit of change here, a little more recovery there, and everything would be great. And I know it's painful. And you talk about your struggle with mental illness and all. This is where it's so important that you're willing to do what's most uncomfortable, and that's connect with other people to get support, encouragement, hold you back from, you know, doing something foolish like calling, texting, hoping, things like that. You're really going to have to get a community around you that can support you in a very tough time.
Kate, I just wanted to ask, what's the longest amount of time that you have been apart from this guy in the 6 years?
Like a year and a half.
Okay. And then do you remember going back after that year and a half? Like, what was that decision process?
Basically, I mean, he was trying to contact me, and this was back in April, and I changed my number, and then I basically went through a really traumatic summer. I was hospitalized twice, once for 5 weeks, the other time for 4 weeks, and moved into this apartment program, and just, I had heard about him in the hospital from somebody that I knew, and it just got in my head, and I just, I heard he became a Christian and was reading the Bible all the time. So I guess maybe that was my motivation. And, like I wanted to make amends with him. Like I wanted him to know I forgave him. And like I contacted him, but I blocked him. And then I, contacted him again and he responded and we did talk. And, like, I started to feel, like, oppression after that. And I blocked him again. And then it was not last Friday, the Friday before that, I contacted him again. And,
but see, here's, you know, here's what I would hope for you. I would hope for you that you would start having some help, that you would say, hey, what do you think about me contacting this guy to make amends? And then that person would say to you, I know you think that's really important, but it's not. And then they would say no, and you would listen to them. Because if you don't develop that, you're going to be doing stuff that you think and feel would be helpful, but you've come to discover your feelings and your thinking, it's kind of like mine, not all that reliable all the time there. And so you don't want to make those kind of decisions like this. And if you ever had the thought of contacting him again, I would hope that you would have somebody in your life to say, no, that's what I'd be saying to you. No, it's just not going to work.
And I heard you say, Kate, that you guys are involved in a recovery, both of you individually. Is that correct?
Yes. He's in the addiction piece, like in another city, and I'm in the mental health part.
Okay. Well, so I want to encourage you to get involved with a 12-step group. Codependent Anonymous would be a great way to get started, but you need a group around you so that when you say these things out loud to the group, you know, that step about making amends also says when doing so, we would not do that if it would harm somebody. Well, you're the person that it would harm if you try to make amends with this guy. So you need a group. You need to get involved with that support. From a 12-step codependent recovery aspect, I think would be the best. That's just my perspective.
Well, we'll send you Take Your Life Back. That is a book that was kind of designed in the beginning for codependency. And I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible and hope that that would be a blessing to you there. But you've got more resource than you realize. You're just going to have to access the resource you have. Recovery groups, support group, church groups, strong, loving, supportive women in groups. That's what you need so that they can hold you back from making another mistake with a guy like this. All right. Let's talk with Grace from Corona, California, KKLA. Hey, Grace, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay. Good afternoon.
Hi. What's going on in your life today? Yes, we're right here.
Yes. I have an issue with my husband because we've been in a cycle of stonewalling each other every time a conflict arises. He would act as if nothing happens, but there's no intimacy. We don't really communicate about our issues. Whenever I bring it up, he would retaliate with an insult or some really hurtful words. And then I would just stop talking to him, and then it would go on for weeks and months sometimes.
So what kind of things were you bringing up to him that would cause him to react like that?
Because I would just like us to have more connection, because he's into sports, into photography. He has so many hobbies that it takes a lot of his time. So I want to have time with him alone. But every time he would spend most of his time doing those things, and when he's done with that, he would spend time with the family, like with the kids.
Okay.
There's no time for the two of us. And when I bring it up, he would tell me I'm selfish, controlling, manipulative. So I don't know what to do anymore with him. I'm giving up.
All right. So I'm just thinking there are a couple of ways to bring something like that up. One is, you know, I want to spend time with you, but all you ever do is spend time with the kids and sports and all of that. And then the other way would be truly to tell him that you miss him and you've made reservations at a restaurant and you want to go out and try to help him see you genuinely want to connect with him, not make him feel bad about the fact that he isn't connecting with you.
I book a trip for the two of us to New York for a weekend.
Yeah.
Just the two of us. And then it went well. I didn't bring up any issue. It went, we had fun. But then after that, it came back to the same cycle.
Grace, I'm so sorry.
Grace, has there been a big change for your husband? Is this a new behavior on his part, or how long has it been going on for?
He's been like that ever since. He's into sports, a lot of sports, and then he likes spending time with his
But Grace, the way that he's Grace, the way that he's hurtful to you and cruel with his words, is that a new behavior? How long has that been going on?
No, it's been always like that. Every time I would bring up the issue, it's been ever since. But I stuck it on because of the kids. You know, every time I bring up something, he would just say, "You know, you be happy. I come home to you. I'm being faithful to you." You know, things like that. And then I tell him, "You know, that is not our standard. We should follow the Christian standard because we're supposed to be Christians."
And Grace, through these,
okay, then I'm not the Christian.
Grace, through these years, have you suspected excessive alcohol use or substance use?
That's in the family. They always drink, and he, whenever, you know, at home, even at home, he would drink by himself.
And even though he says, "I've been faithful, you should be happy about that," have you suspected infidelity or pornography use?
Not really. I don't think so. I don't think he has. But lately, during the height of our conflict, when we were seeing a counselor, suddenly he just changed his wardrobe, buying clothes and shoes, you know. And I asked him, "Why is sudden change of wardrobe?" And then he said, "Oh, I'm undergoing midlife crisis."
Are you still seeing that counselor?
No, we stopped seeing the counselor. We went twice. Actually, first we went to the pastor, and then he didn't like what the pastor said. So he said, "Okay, I don't want to go to the pastor. I want to see a private counselor." And then we went twice, and then we stopped going. And the thing whenever he hurts my feelings with his words, he wouldn't even say sorry. You know, he would let it.
Grace, it sounds like the marriage is in real trouble. But from the beginning, it sounds like you guys have gotten into some habits and routines that just have not been, they're just not good. It's just not healthy. And it's going to take a lot of commitment on both parts. But I would say, kind of like what you were saying, Steve, about, you know, it can't come from a complaint. It has to come from this is how this is going to go. We need to get with counselors on a regular basis. It needs to be couples counseling, and you need to reorganize. Now, if he doesn't want to do that, that's going to give you some other information you can't just keep dealing with this on your own. And there has to be a consistent effort towards reorganizing the way that the relationship works.
And, you know, you might want to have this kind of discussion with him. "Honey, what is it that you want the most in these next couple of years? Mm-hmm. And where do we fit in that? And how do you think we could get there? I want us to be a couple that makes life better for each other, not worse.
Right.
And maybe if we could get a little bit of help today, we end up with a lot of days where life is better than worse. But what are you wanting?"
Right.
And if he doesn't want relationship with you, then you need to know that.
Right. So you described it in your initial question or your initial description, Grace. You said stonewalling. Well, you both are stonewalling. You're asking him for something that he's not willing to do, and he wants to do something that you don't want him to do. So you guys literally are at a standoff. And, to move forward is going to have some conversations that are not where there's a tug of war immediately happening. So I would encourage you just to get with a counselor. How We Love would be a great book.
We'll send that.
Yeah.
That'll help.
And Grace, using your part in this as a piece of the invitation, So expressing that you want better for the marriage, and you realize what you're doing, what you, Grace, are doing, isn't working. So in that invitation to couples counseling, whether or not he accepts it, there's work that you can do on yourself, whether it's protection against his ongoing behavior and or learning ways, strategies to change what you're doing to more effective techniques to try to reach your husband. There's a lot of hope here and a lot of power on your side of what you decide to do no matter what your husband does.
So it's really important when we come to that point in life where we say, the stuff that I'm doing is not working. It's not making it better. What are my options? What are my resources? That's why we're here. We realize the last thing a lot of people want to do is call an 800 number and ask for help. But when it's the first thing that you do after you've seen, nothing I'm doing is working the way we want it to work, that's when hope starts to open up. A lot of times we use an excuse. I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, maybe the Lord's waiting on you to do what you're waiting on the Lord to do. We take the easy way out sometimes when the tough way actually is a way out. So I want to encourage you, do the tough thing. And maybe you, all of a sudden, you see things that you thought were impossible. They're not. And, you know, a support group sometimes will give you a hint here or there. Do this. Okay, that didn't work. Let's change strategy. All of a sudden, now your life starts to open up before you with possibilities and options you didn't know were there. But it takes courage to make the phone call to find out what those are. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the place you can call.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Oh my goodness, it is amazing the kind of stuff that can happen, the kind of trouble that we can get into. Listen to this note from Trudy. You answer so many life questions and address areas I'm too blind to realize are creating the problem. I frequently pass on your wisdom to my grown children and friends. I wrote down three of your wise sayings and clipped them to a lampshade where they can be seen every day. Do the next right thing. Stay connected. Walk in today's reality. In every quandary, one of these seem to apply to my life. Thanks for the directions that have kept me from running off the road. I still weave, but thank God you've given me guidelines that keep me on course.
I hope she's not wearing that lampshade.
No, me too. I'm blessed to be a Club New Life member and will continue to support the ministry as much as possible. Knowing you're there if needed is a great comfort. You're truly a gift from God. And
love
if you
that.
Want to join Club New Life like she did, I'll send you 4 of our devotional books, 100 Days of Healing, 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Prayer, and 100 Days of Character. Those are all there for you, our gift, joining Club New Life. All right. How about we go to, let's talk with Helen. Helen's calling us from Mountain Home, Idaho. KBXL is the station. Hey, Helen, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Well, great.
Not really.
How could we help?
Well, I have a son who is addicted to drugs, and he has been for several years. He's been in and out of prison, and he's in his early 50s, and he just, this time I really thought he had it. We talk about the Lord a lot, and I think he's been saved. He knows the Bible a little bit. But anyway, he's been out about a month and a half. He's very smart, very entrepreneurial. He is in a partnership in a business. And since he's gotten out, he's made that business just go booming. And now he's been gone for 2 or 3 days, and they can hardly handle the work that he's brought in. So I don't know what to do. I called his probation officer and told him that he's been gone, and he said, well, when he gets back, have him call me. So okay, but I don't know what to do, how to I've texted him, I've sent him voicemails. Now his voicemails, of course, full. He's full of me. And we're close, and he's a wonderful young man, old man, elderly man now, I don't know, but anyway,
yeah. Here's the thing. If you're talking about the Lord, right?
Yes.
And you are using that as a sign that things are going well, then you might be fooling yourself and allowing him to fool himself. Because some people that use and abuse drugs will say whatever it is that another person likes to hear, just to kind of keep them from asking some tough questions. But what we want is we want him to be talking about what the Lord is doing in his life through a recovery process. We can be convinced that, this is the exception. Even though he's been in prison and he's a drug addict and stuff, him talking about the Lord means he's really different now. No, if he's going to meetings, if he's working the steps, if he's got a sponsor, these are the things that should make us feel positive about the future and optimistic. Just him talking about religious things or Christian things or using the name of Jesus, that can often be kind of a deflection from the reality that, hey, I'm not doing anything in recovery.
So, Helen, I have a question. Did you say that he disappears like this regularly?
Well, no, he just recently got out about a month and a half ago, and he's done really well. And now he hasn't been home for 2 nights, he's using...
What is home? Is it home with you or home? He has another place.
When he was released from the prison, he said that he would come here because he did need to be accountable, and he would have to be very accountable to me.
So have you reported him as a missing person yet?
No, I did call his probation officer and told him that he's not come home, and he said, well, when you hear from him, have him call me.
Well, I would just, my brother was a heroin addict, and I remember those days when he wouldn't show up. And I can tell you from personal experience, the best thing you can do is if he's been gone for 2 days, you need to call the police and just report him as missing. If he is in his addiction, you know, it's very easy for people who are addicted to go right back to the level at which they quit,
mm-hmm.
and it can overwhelm their system. And I don't want to scare you, Helen. This is just a reality of drug addiction. And I know that if you've been living with him in this for all these years, you know the threat is real. And I would hate for that to be the case, but I just know that that's the harsh reality of drug addiction.
Yeah, so maybe it is a phone call to the police to say, hey, he's not here. I need some help to locate this missing person
and, you know,
that I love.
And the one other thing I would suggest for you, Helen, I know we sound like a broken record, but it would be really important for you to get into an Al-Anon meeting, regardless of what the outcome of this is. You need that support. You need that community as you continue in your relationship with your son.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
My problem, if he goes back to prison, doesn't work. You know, they don't have anything in the prison. He does need to be in a program. And what I really was calling there for was I was wanting to see if you had a reference to a good Christian therapist.
We can do that, but he's going to need a program in addition to a therapist.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're right here. We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Glad to have Alice Benton, Becky Brown with us here. A couple of things for Helen. Alice, you were saying you wanted to encourage her.
I do, because Helen, how heartbreaking and how scary that he's disappeared yet again. And you suspect, but you don't know what has happened to him. And you've been in and out of this cycle with him his entire life. And it's so difficult that one of the best ways to love an addict family member is actually to limit the resources that we share with them, and sometimes not allow them to live with us or not allow them in our home if we suspect active use or they're unsafe to us. So the support that we want you to get is for guidance about being cautious of doing more work than he's doing for his sobriety. So it is good that you're looking for a therapist for him. I think a therapist could help him, but we want one for you so that you do the right amount to protect yourself, but you don't enable his behavior and make life too comfortable for him.
Yeah. It's just like all of us need, I think, a little input from the outside, a consultant on our lives. And if you're dealing with somebody that's almost impossible to deal with, boy, do you ever need that third party, that outside help. And, you know, if you're ready for that, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll find that person for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number for you to call. So for Helen, I'm going to send her Take Your Life Back, and I'm going to send a Life Recovery Bible to give to him, and then hopefully we can find a clinician and a group for him, and then also one for her. Let's talk to Sandy from Pensacola, Florida. WEGS is the station. Hello, Sandy. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on today?
Well, I heard your program about a week ago. A lady had called in, and she was this is kind of an embarrassing topic, I guess, to talk about on the radio. But
okay.
I think it's very important. I'm an educator. My dad's a former prison minister, and he has recently passed away. But the lady had called in about her husband masturbating in the bed next to her, and mm-hmm. I was very concerned as a Christian for so many years. I've been a Christian since I was 6 years old when my dad came to the Lord. I feel like we demonize men too much these days. Society is saying masculinity is toxic masculinity, and all of these types of things. And I'm just very concerned. Men are very sexual, you know, in they're way more sexual than women. Mm-hmm. That has been proven medically. And they tend to be that way. And I'm concerned about a man not being able to take care of his needs when his wife is not interested in doing that sort of thing. I mean, because women are not always going to be interested in doing those sorts of things when men are. And you guys.
So, what's the question for us?
You had said to this woman that her husband did have a problem by masturbating in the bed when she was there. And I'm worried about men listening to this program thinking, oh my gosh, I can't be a Christian or I can't go to church because I can't handle this. I've got to take care of my needs. What is your take on masturbation?
Okay.
What is the Christian take on that as far as your ministry goes?
Yeah.
Because I was really confused by that.
Sure. All right. Well, a lot of people are. And one of the things that we would never want to do is to inflict shame on someone where that shame doesn't need to be. And we all know that an over emphasis on masturbation in general can cause kids to think that, you know, they're going to hell because they've masturbated and things like that. And that is not what we want to have happen. What we do want to have happen is healthy sexuality. Now, if we are promoting healthy sexuality, then there are a lot of different things that come into play. And let me just give you one example of a problem that existed. Probably 20 years ago, in the de-shaming movement, we kind of made all masturbation okay. Or there was a message that this isn't harmful, this is okay. And it's part of healthy sexuality. And then all of a sudden, everybody had access to more pornography than you could ever imagine possible online.
Right.
And we started to see that maybe that's not the complete message. And so here's some things that we could start with. When is masturbation not healthy? Well, it's not healthy when it's compulsive, when a person is out of control and they go to masturbation to find relief to the degree that when we hear these stories, we know these people all the time. They're at work, and they're so involved with this 4 or 5 times a day at work, online, with computers, in the workplace, That's a problem. Second thing is, it's a problem when we're lusting after someone else that isn't someone that we're married to. That is betrayal. So we have a standard that everything that we do sexually should be known by my spouse, involving my spouse, and approved by my spouse. Sometimes a man would rather have sex with himself than going through all of the things to build relationship, so that sex is a result of intimacy, not an act of relief or release.
Right.
And so all of this is complex. And if a man is in the bed masturbating and his wife is there and that is a problem for her, and then he needs to be talking with her about this. They need to be getting some help together about their sexual intimacy issues, so that we're not just giving a message. If she won't have sex as much as you want, you just go masturbate. Can you see how that would prevent a process whereby they might come together and develop a healthy sexuality? That has been the answer of many unknowing people. Just go get some relief. Go ahead.
Can I say something?
Sure,
okay,
go
my
ahead.
Husband is extremely healthy. I hear a lot of these women call in, and I feel so bad for them. There are some very unhealthy relationships out there.
Yeah.
I have been blessed to have extremely healthy relationships with the men in my life.
Great.
They haven't always had, my uncle had some bad problems with his, other things. But I have been blessed to not have those problems with any man in my life. I don't know if it's because I have a strong personality. I don't know what it was. But my husband has told me, and I have a question for you, that he has masturbated when maybe I was too tired, or I had breast cancer recently and I was sick and I was unable to do those sort of things. But he thought about me when he was in the bathroom. He told me, he said, I thought about you when I did that sort of thing. So
Sandy, you're saying what Steve said.
Okay, but see, that is a very different dynamic in the relationship than the woman that called and the instance in the relationship between her.
Yes, it is. What is your take on what I just told you?
Well, I think that there are times when masturbation can be okay. So
you don't see
anything in Scripture that says every type and every instance of masturbation is wrong. There is nothing in Scripture that says that. But there are a lot of parameters where it is. And so what you won't hear is a simplistic answer from me saying, oh, well, it's okay for a guy to be in bed with his wife thinking she, you know, that no, that's not going to come from here anymore.
But you're also not going to hear
from me that it's all negative, too. See, so it's a complex issue. And I encourage anybody that wants to see what I think is the spirit of the Lord, you read Every Man's Battle. Fred and I both have a little different view on it. And my view is this: less is better. And if there is a great relationship where it's never, ever coming into play, then that is the best. Now, another issue. Recovering sex addict, it's a no. It's a no. And so that's the other piece of this that makes it very complex. It's different in so many instances.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And just like so many things we deal with, these are complex difficulties that don't have a simple little, here's the answer for every person in every situation. And we try to look at it from that perspective. Let's go to Hillary, Orlando, Florida. Listens on the internet. Hey there, Hillary. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Great. What's your question for us?
Okay. To give you a little bit of background, I've been married for almost 25 years, and during most of my marriage, there's been a lot of infidelity on my husband's part. And so through the years, I've always forgiven him and have taken him back. And, you know, I've never felt led by the Lord to leave him.
Why did you think he would commit adultery? And then if you weren't going to divorce him, then you should just say, okay, come back and live and let's do this all over again. Why do you think you never thought, I ought to require him to get some help for this before we try to be married again?
Right. Looking back on that, I feel like that's what I needed to do.
But I was asking, why do you think you, because this can be helpful for other people that are in the same situation. Why do you think you didn't think that was important?
I don't know. I really don't know. I guess I thought at that time that I was just supposed to forgive him, and he seemed very remorseful, and that I was supposed to, and that he wouldn't do it again, and that he would be the spiritual leader that he was, that he's supposed to be. But then it would keep happening, and
yeah.
At that time, I thought that's what I was supposed to do, and now I realize that's not what I was supposed to do. I should have held him accountable for that.
There you go.
And
Great. At
him to seek help for that.
Okay. So, what's the question for us today?
Well, that is not going on, as far as I know. However, he is controlling when he's stressed. There's a lot of foul language, and it gets me upset. And I've been dealing with a health issue for the past 2 years, and I've not been able to work, which has created more stress in our home. And I just want to know what the Lord would expect me to do at this point in time so that I can heal physically and emotionally so that I can get back into the workforce. But okay. dealing with a lot of the negativity and old wounds, I'm trying to figure out how to process this. I mean, I'm reading, you know, I'm praying, reading scripture and seeking God's direction.
We've got a great resource for you, Hillary. We got a great resource for you.
Perfect.
In just a few weeks, you could go to the Restore Workshop. I know that it is overwhelming when you have all these things that are coming against you. This old habit of the marriage not being connected and the past wounds not being addressed. And the quick forgiveness kind of is like, you know, piling Band-Aids on top of Band-Aids. And then, you know, there's no real healing, and you're recognizing that. And Restore would be a great place for you to just really process this and to begin a new way of doing your life together.
And so, Alice, for somebody that can't go to Restore and they're with this kind of repeat offender, but they want things to be different, where does she begin?
Well, Hillary, I'm really glad that you're asking about your physical health, because being under this stress and receiving this sort of treatment from your husband definitely slows down your own physical healing process.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to meditate and start living out Proverbs 19:19, where we decide we're no longer going to rescue an angry man from the consequences of his behavior. And that starts with letting him know when he curses at you and he raises his voice, that you're going to walk out of the room, that you're going to protect yourself from that. And if you need to take it to the level of, I may have to leave our house for some time, if you're not willing to work on this and get help for this, because I need to heal and I need to be safe and I need to be protected. And I'm not feeling that way right now in our home. Husband, would you be willing to get help? How do you think he'd respond?
I've been walking out of the room. I actually started doing that recently and trying to get rid of any toxicity in my life.
And Hillary, if you asked him to get help, how do you think he'd respond?
I don't know. I've asked him before with marital counseling years ago, and he's refused that. I really don't know.
Given the fact that you've allowed some stuff over and over, he's probably not going to think, you know, you're very serious right now. And so a prescription for you might be that you're going to, with your health problems, you're going to have to get out of the house and get with some supportive, loving women that can build you up emotionally and spiritually. Because he sure isn't, and he's continuing to tear you down with his cussing and all of that. A man that's been involved with multiple affairs and probably pornography and other things, he sees you as an object that he's married to versus a whole, complete, healthy human being. So to expect him to instantly be different, that's a lot. So what I would do if I were you, I would be finding the resources for women like you. There are codependency groups. There are groups that if a person is in relationship with someone who is a sex addict or a problem with sexual integrity, you go, it's other women, find a supportive Bible study. But you being at home with a health problem and not kind of risking and pushing it a little bit, it's sad to say, but it's as if you cease to exist as a person to him. He doesn't even see you as a person. And so he cusses at you. You can't fix his problem. He's looking for a mommy that would heal him, make him better. You can't do it. And it's just a matter of time that there's more pain and suffering down the way. So I would really encourage you to connect with other women in redemptive relationship and try to find some things that you can do that will support your healing, and not just to get back to work, but so that you feel like a healthy, whole human being, and he starts to see you that way.
Let's connect her with a counselor, and I'm serious, Hillary. I'd love to see you at Restore. It would be a great way for you to get that started.
And anything you do outside of the house becomes a bold statement to him. Things are not going to be the way they used to be. Things are changing, and he can be expected to make some changes too. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to remind everybody it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we've got great conferences. Restore's our next one coming up. Every Man's Battle. You can really change everything with those two conferences right there. We have resources like Worthy of Her Trust. All those things are available, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When you join Club New Life, I send you our 4 devotionals. People love these 100 days of healing, prayer, peace, and character. And then a gift of any amount, you can get 100 days of healing. Or you could get our calendar, the New Life 2020 calendar, our way of saying thanks. And if you have a grandchild or child at 13 to 8 and needs a great Christmas gift, $20 I'll send Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. Call us if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the same number if you can help us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.